AM 790 WNIS. Representative Scott Ridgel here today. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, you're on WNIS with me and Mike and Scott Ridgel. Go ahead, Charlie.
Thanks for taking my call, Congressman Ridgel.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling today about Medicare specifically. You know, everybody's talking about that, and one of the things that's happening under the radar that I wanted to make you aware of is seniors' home medical equipment benefits that are changing dramatically.
Okay.
Right now, you know, if you asked a senior where they wanted to receive care, most of them would say in their home, not a nursing home or not a hospital, and being in your home is the most cost-effective place to receive it, yet they're cutting all these benefits right now. And I just didn't know if that was something that was on your radar right now with all these cuts taking place.
Charlie, thank you for the question, and I've actually made a couple of visits to in-home patients who are on Medicare and are receiving services at home, and I agree with you. It's really, in so many cases, much more cost-effective to have folks at home and being able to stay there versus staying in a hospital, which we all know is so expensive. And I'll take a look at that that specific line item there. I can share with you that just overall, this is and I'm glad we're talking about it this morning because it's such an important topic. The Office of Management and Budget has put forth a definitive answer on this, is that Medicare literally runs out of money. If we don't make some changes, it's going to run out of money in 9 years. I mean, it's not, you know, in 2040 or 2050 and those other type of numbers, but, you know, within less than a decade, that critical program, which I support and want to continue and so many rely upon, especially and including those in my own family, that we've got to get this right. And I'll be happy to look at that particular line item and see where that's headed.
It's difficult to wrap your mind around where it is, what the proposals are, as opposed to President Obama and the Democrats' legislation, and what the long-range consequences will be. And then one has to wonder, when they're in your job, Representative Ridgel, whether or not people really understand it. And it's difficult to understand, and it's difficult to know exactly where everything is going. And now, Pew Research Center finds slightly more Americans oppose than favor the budget who are senior citizens who, according to Pew, actually understand the plan. So is there a problem in selling the plan? What is the problem? Or just mentioned Medicare and people...
It's such a big topic, and people are so busy. I can tell you that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, if you asked me about Medicare, at the time I was, 47, 48 years old, I really didn't, you know, I really wasn't all that well-versed in it. I am now, and I would encourage every person who's listening today to get informed and so that you can make an informed decision on this. What I really appreciate about where we are as Republicans and what Congressman Ryan did with the Path to Prosperity is we have a specific plan. I mean, it's been scored by the Congressional Budget Office, which is really important because that's the third-party objective agency that really puts the numbers to, you know, behind any claim that a politician might make. And so ours has been scored. And if truly, Tony, if we spent the next 20 minutes or so talking about the plan that has been introduced by the House Democrats or even the president or certainly Harry Reid, there'd be radio silence because there is no
But the question that the listeners want to hear is, and the answer is, okay, I'm 55.
Right. Nothing
How
changes.
Will this affect me 10 years from now? How, as opposed to someone who is 65 now, I've been told, and we hear all these things, these figures, it's going to be $15,000. There's going to be a voucher. You're going to get the voucher.
Here we go.
But it's going to be $6,000 more. And so you hear all this thing. So I think that the questions is not a comparison between you and the Democrats, is with the plan that you guys are proposing,
yes.
I'm 65. How will it affect me? I'm 55. How will it affect me? Those are the questions.
I can answer that definitively and concisely.
Please.
For the 55-year-old and the 65-year-old and everyone in between and even older, there's absolutely no change. Zero. Not a, you know, however many superlatives
you won't be given a voucher?
No. No. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. It is for those who are 54 and younger that just slight, really they are modest changes, and they're what he's done, which I really support, is to bring in a marketplace, you know, competition. Basically, it's the same type of program that we have as members of Congress, which, by the way, I declined, that health insurance. But it would be the same type of health insurance plan where you have a variety of choices and you have premium support. And it is a very, very practical way of going about this. And I had it was actually quite interesting.
But, so in other words, a person who is 85 years old will be faced with more decisions. And I'm asking is
– No, a person who's 85 is faced with no decisions at this
– Well, who is faced with decisions? You say they're given more choices. How old is that person?
54 and younger.
Okay.
When they get to the age of that they would actually qualify for Medicare.
And then they would sign on to a specific proposal, a specific plan for the rest of their lives.
Well, they'd have choice. They could change, just like members of Congress can change from one plan to another. Mm-hmm. And this is – Tony, I truly wake up every day and I go to sleep every day just so deeply troubled about our country and where we're headed. I am a numbers guy. You know, I've been looking at financial statements for 30 years. And – when I even hear my own Republican colleagues, and they'll say, and of course the Democrats say this as well, they say, you know, this isn't fair to our grandchildren and our children. And my sense is every time I hear that is like, no, it's not our grandchildren and our children. It's us. People ask me what I took away from my meeting with the president or our meeting. There were quite a few of us who met with the president in the East Room. I appreciated him having us over, but I was struck as I left there by what I sensed was a lack of urgency in the president, a real sense that he sees that our country is truly at risk. And I believe the consequences of not taking action are far more serious than most realize, and I also think it's closer than most realize, the day of reckoning. And so that's why I support this plan. It may be imperfect, and I'm certainly open to suggestions from callers and anyone else who wants to offer suggestions. But this plan, who some criticize as too draconian, it has us borrowing money for 26 years, adding to the deficit, which is already $14.2 or $3 trillion. It has us adding to that, not even balancing the budget for 26 years.
Right.
So that's draconian. It's difficult to...
When you look at just the analysis of it, like you look at the plan itself, and then you look at the 20-page analysis of the plan as you try to figure it out. A lot of calls coming in. Let's go to Sean from the Eastern Shore. Sean, you're on with Representative Scott Ritchell. Sean, we're glad you checked in today. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I know y'all are talking about some serious issues, and I was just calling to make a basic statement, so thank you for having me on. My wife is a school teacher for Tallwood High School, and she teaches in the Global Studies Academy. And she really tries to push the kids to think about the actual issues, not so much the celebrity of the Democrat or the Republican, but just the actual issues to be thinking about, be engaged. And recently she took her kids up to Washington, D.C. to tour the sites, and on a whim she gave Congressman Ritchell office a call. And he graciously accepted them into his office, talked about the issues of the day, and, really spurred a lot of thought in these young individuals' minds. And I just wanted to call and just say, thank you for taking the time to do that with everything else that's going on with all the other, officials and all the other people out there. Just thanks for being a stand-up guy and taking the time to do that. And from what I understand, you're coming to speak as well. So I just wanted to call and I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous.
No,
you're doing good.
Sean, thank you. Listen, I really appreciate the call. And it was a delight meeting your wife. And Esmel Meeks is here with me this morning. He's a young gentleman right out of college who's been part of our campaign and now and actually a family friend and now working with us up in Washington. And he's our outreach director. And at every opportunity, we're always seeking out high school students and others, college students, because I just think it's so important that our young people get informed about these issues. This is an uncommon time in America, and I can't stress that enough. This is a very difficult time. We've got to make the right decisions, and I truly believe it's got to be this Congress this year, and it would be immoral in my view to continue to defer these decisions. Every year that goes by, the problems become more acute. And I appreciate what your wife is sharing with her students, because I feel the same way. I mean, let's take the personalities out of it and just look at the issues and see where the facts take us.
Scott Ritchell is our guest today on WNIS. Let's take a phone call from Eugene. Hey, welcome, Eugene. Go ahead, please.
Scott. Thanks for taking my call. Look, I'm wondering why 2 weeks ago you, Rob Whitman, and Randy Forbes all voted not to give the combat troops in harm's way the $100 extra combat pay.
Eugene, thank you for the call. And, you know, one of the things I learned up in Washington was about a procedural vote called a motion to recommit. It is the most bizarre, misused procedure, I think, in the House of Representatives. And it is and you know what? Both parties are equal opportunity offenders. When the Republicans were in the minority, they used it. When the Democrats are now in the minority, they're using it. And the whole point, I'd say basically every week, Eugene, you can find a vote that you would think, hey, that doesn't really match up with, you know, what the Scott Ridgel that I know or, you know, the values that I believe he holds. Why would he vote that way? Well, a motion to recommit, it's difficult to explain. It took somebody, from the office of the whip that to explain it to me. It took about an hour and a half as to the history of it, why it's used. But it's basically the last-ditch effort that a minority has to actually kill a bill. So they attach almost like an amendment to a larger bill, and it would recommit the bill back to the committee and kill the larger bill. So that's the problem. If you voted for one of these things, in essence, more often than not, what it would do is kill the bill that you definitely want to get passed, and so that's why we would vote against those things. The short answer is those are procedural votes intended to, get elected officials to vote for bizarre things, and that was one of them.